Hello everyone and welcome back to the Donkers Garage for episode 33. That's a coincidence. It is not. Yearly review. Well, 33 is the number of the driver that actually...
The champion.
What? No. I am joined by the almighty.
The greatest.
The man that made it all possible.
The co-founder of the Joy
at the Donkey's Garage.
Lucas is back.
The
Two episodes in a row, indeed.
And he's committed to giving his review.
Of course.
With regards to the drivers, the teams, all that is to be known about Formula One.
Of 2023.
And of course, we are going to pay tribute, I think, to a good year.
That's your opinion.
With this episode, we are most definitely, I think, paying great tribute to this year. It's been a year full of surprises.
Yeah.
At the back, because at the front, it's been quite steady. But I am going to let my dear friend, Lucas, take the lead, and give us his opinion, I think, about the top one.
The top driver?
Let's say the top three, because the top one might be a bit short.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Please, the floor is yours.
The floor is mine.
Hold up! Hold up!
The floor is mine.
The floor is yours.
I hope the neighbors don't kick us out. I have the following to say. I don't agree with Marin. The year was not that interesting, but nevertheless...
Okay.
I divulge.
We've got
I
a
divulge.
Disagreement right
already, within the first minute or two already.
I would like to file a submission.
So the driver of, or the champion rather.
Objection,
of,
Your Honor.
Already. The champion of the year was Verstappen. We are going to list the drivers, as Marin said, all of them, and we will give them their respective ratings out of 10. There will be no 0.5s, only whole numbers, because we like to go fully in.
Full in. That's how we like it, baby.
That's how we like it. So we start with Verstappen. For me, without any negligence, I will give him a 10 out of 10. No questions asked.
A 10 out of 10.
That's my first.
Would you care to argue in this favor? For how would you defend your thesis?
Verstappen had the best year of any driver since I was born. In
better than Lewis Hamilton, your almighty driver, the man that makes you cry, the tear.
To be fair, Lewis had better teammates or more competitive ones in Rosberg and Bottas. I think Perez is about as useful as a taco shell in a soft tire.
Oh my gosh!
So I'm gonna go all the way in.
You are the new Helmut Marko.
I am. The guy should not be driving anything quicker than a tractor. So for me, I agree that Verstappen had the most dominant year. Most probably because his teammate was complete and utter garbage.
The car was also competitive.
The car was not competitive. The car was an absolute beast.
Better than the famous black Mercedes that...
I would say...
That could finish a race with three wheels.
I think... Yes, exactly. I think it's on par with that. You have to say the results speak for themselves, but I think it's on par with that. Not that much better, not that much worse. I'm not going to give you exact specifics. He benefited from this for sure, but is racing on a year rating without comparing greatness or whatever. The guy deserves a clean 10, no discussions asked, in my opinion. He dominated the field from start to finish. Qualifying the car wasn't always top notch, like I said last episode, but he got poles. Whether it be from fractions of sections, from seconds, he still got poles. Yeah, undeniable. That's my opinion. You want me to list the next as well, right? The top three you said.
Please do.
Perez, oh boy! Where do I start with Perez? The Mexican fajita. I hope I'm not insulting the Mexican audience. Sorry about that, Andre.
With all due respect.
I'm going to be not as evil as it sounds. I'd give him a 5 out of 10. He failed in my eyes. 5 out of 10 is a failure if he went to the European school.
And everyone who didn't fail in life.
Failed in life. Yeah, he did win two races. He was not awful, but he definitely is replaceable. That's how I would describe it. He could have done a lot better in so many situations. He showed his, I think his Abu Dhabi race is exactly what he is. He's a guy who can't qualify high, consistently gets, doesn't sometimes get into Q1, Q3. Unbelievably slow.
He doesn't even get in Q1.
Yeah,
exactly. He trashes the car.
Exactly. In race day, he shows pace. He shows that he can overtake. And then something goes wrong, whether he gets a penalty, 5 seconds. But it's not perfect, let's say. It's not a P2. So he shows the car's potential, but he doesn't show his own potential. That's how I would describe him. That's why, for me, he's replaceable. You could put Tsunoda in there, he'd get the same results or similar. I don't think Perez did well. I think next year, I hope I'm wrong. I gets better, but we can talk about that another day. And Hamilton! Where do I start with my boy? He did finish
P3.
Sir Lewis Hamilton, need I remind you all. He did finish P3 in the air. It didn't feel like a P3. It felt worse, I have to say. There were races where he looked good. Mexico.
Sandbacking, you mean?
Exactly. There were races where he looked good. In Mexico, he looked good. That's for sure. The car was not P2. He finished P2. In Hungary, he got pole, which was fantastic. So there were moments where he flashed his brilliance, his almighty lordships. There were moments also where he looked awful. He didn't look interested. Abu Dhabi looked like he was in another world. He didn't care.
Nice t-shirt, by the way.
You're welcome. I mean, you're welcome. Thank
it's
you.
It's a very nice green army. I
wore it specifically for this podcast.
It reminds me of Full Metal Jacket.
I wish I've seen that film, but I know it's a good one. I have to see it.
So, tell me about this. Service.
A rating out of 10, I'd give him a 6.
Six?
Six. I'd give him a 6.
I'm
harsh because I know he's better than
you. Like a okay. Parent. To be honest, harsh on your
to
kid.
Be honest, he didn't finish that far ahead from 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th. So let's not, there's not like he's 50 points ahead and sandbagging away.
Because who is 4th?
Yeah, we'll talk about him later. I don't want to waste my time talking about that Spaniard. Anyway, oh baby. So 6 out of 10, I'm being a little bit harsh, maybe. But the reality is he's better than what he did. And I have to say, I hope next day goes better. Maren, take the floor.
Thank you very much for your submissions.
You're welcome.
I would like to ask the court to review...
Injunction! Karen.
To review and take with a pinch of salt these comments, which...
Pinch of salt.
Some, in some respects, are very, very accurate. In some respects, I care to
disagree.
Oh, indeed.
He dares.
With regards to Verstappen, I would grant him a 9 out of 10.
9?
Indeed.
What's he missing, Marin?
Because in spite of it all, in spite of being supreme in qualifying, being almost perfect during race conditions...
Almost. How many races did he win this year? Okay,
he failed in Singapore.
That's one race.
One race, indeed. But for a 10, you need to be perfect. And perfect requires that you are absolutely spotless. Whereas it is not the case. And there is one particular aspect which bothers me about his driving, which is his inability to understand team conditions. And let me expand on this.
Okay.
In life, it so happens to be that you can be brilliant at what you do.
Yes.
And we see this in the workspace very often.
In the office.
There happens to be people that are brilliant at their work.
That's very true.
But they happen to be a liability in the group.
Can you stop changing your accent, Kai?
Should they... fail to understand the importance of teamwork. And it so happens that Verstappen is unable to attribute the importance it requires to teamwork. And what I mean by this is
Give us an example.
They are a team, Red Bull, where there are two drivers.
Mm.
And the most important result is not the individual result of the driver, but the team result.
Okay.
And when Verstappen has been asked to support the team's interest to his detriment, he just can't accept it.
That's true.
And that is a big liability in a team. Because he's been lucky enough to have a team that can deliver a perfect car, that they have had the perfect conditions all year through.
Mm-hmm.
But when things fail, when things get rough, He's enabled to work as a teammate for the team. And this is, in my opinion, something that needs to be addressed within the team, to make him understand that sometimes you just have to accept a result other than victory, should it come to that, for the sake of the team. And let me give you a specific example, which is what you're looking
example.
For.
Okay, example, okay, I like example.
Example.
Tell me.
Which is Las Vegas.
Okay.
You've got a situation where you are substantially faster, where you feel at ease, you're P1 for the last 6-7 laps, but your teammate is fighting for P2. Perez, in this case, specifically, was fighting for P2. He should have played teammate and slowed down Leclerc.
He did.
He didn't.
Oh my god.
He
tried.
He tried to. But
the donkey behind him couldn't keep up.
He could have done so much more.
Okay. Like what?
Tell me. Actually slowed down enough to have Leclerc breathing down his neck.
Okay.
Because Leclerc didn't have the pace to overtake Verstappen. In life, as I say, sometimes you have to accept that you have to take a hit for the team. And if I may share...
Oh, you may.
A specific example. Those of us who've had the honor of playing Call of Duty, Warzone specifically, will know that when you play as a teammate...
And the other drink.
You do have to take a hit for your teammate. I remember once playing with you. We were located in a suburb.
Of the gulag?
Not the gulag, we were in the map. And we were fighting for our lives. And it was coming down to the last four players. And I remember the two of us, we were located in this dead area. We had nowhere to go other than but die. Our opponents had better positioning and better guns. And I remember we had to make a call like a team. And I remember specifically, I took out the bazooka.
The RPG.
And I had to.
And you jumped off the truck.
I had to. To RPG you in order to kill the person that was next to you, and so we brought the team to victory. And I remember the specific time I told you, listen to my orders, follow me, and you did, and you understood at that very specific moment that team orders
go above all
were exactly above all.
Would Verstappen do that for his team?
And when Christian Horner says do this, there is no buts.
Okay.
There is just do it.
Okay. That's fair. I get your point. That's fair.
Thank you very much.
On to the next round.
Your lordship, I may continue.
That was a passionate speech. Passionate.
Now with Paris.
Oh God, where do we start?
I have to say that Paris has under-delivered.
Wow.
But he hasn't failed me.
Mm-hmm.
He started very well, and I believe he was...
back.
He was played by his own team. They didn't want him to constitute a threat to Verstappen at the beginning of the year.
Mm.
And they bothered him. They played with his confidence. And they led a campaign against him, which resulted in a loss of confidence, which then kept on going for 4-5 races. Monaco, and so on. He under-delivered, and then he had the tremendous challenge of overcoming that loss of faith, where he was about to lose P2 at the end of the year. But he delivered when it most mattered at the end of the year, finding all again his pace. I have to say that I find it quite coincidental, if I may say so, that the team and himself found pace right after Verstappen secured P1 in the constructors, in the championship, and the drivers. somehow he just finds his confidence. So I think they turned up, they had tuned down the engine, and then they had turned on
this. So there's a conspiracy happening between...
I do believe there was a conspiracy.
That would be...
It has always been the case in Red Bull. There has always been a conspiracy theory around...
Insane.
They have boycotted both Gasly, Hartley...
Albon.
All the drivers that have been next to Verstappen have been purposely boycotted. Perez has been no exception. I will give him a 7 out of 10.
What?
A 7 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For a result that is not enough, but is, has shown confidence overall.
So you believe in him?
I do believe in him.
Okay, that's
I believe that he's a very competitive driver. He's shown in his time in Formula 1, in the Sauber years, in the Force India years, that he's got
that's true.
The pace. He's got the passion.
He won a race.
And he's most definitely has the ability to lead a team.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That was passion.
I will move on to Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Take his name in vain.
I shall award him a 6 out of 7.
6 out of 7?
6 out of 10.
How much have you drunk, man?
6 out of 10.
Ratings changed.
For a year that has had ups and downs.
Same as me. You're going to give him a 6 out of 10, and he gave Perez a 7 out of 10.
Yes. Because Hamilton committed one sin, which is unacceptable in a driver of his quality.
He gave this award away?
Other than that, which was very rude, I would say.
The man with the corn.
I would say that he's shown... He's been uninterested at times.
Mm.
And in a driver that has won 7 world championships... As a driver who's had it all, he just has to show more grace in times of
crisis.
Crisis, indeed. And that is one thing he doesn't deal with quite properly.
Mm.
I remember Schumacher in comparison. I think of Alonso in comparison. I think Vettel in comparison. Those drivers who've had success then have had cars that were nowhere near their previous success.
Okay.
And they had the grace.
Alonso had the grace in McLaren. The grace to call it a tractor and a GP engine.
And it was. But he stood by the team.
Okay. And he left.
And he left, of course. Because he was a tractor.
I will not just stand here and hear these rambunctious attempts to disgrace my royal.
Has shown some lack of faith in the team. Because when things go well, he's the first to say this is for the team. But when things go wrong,
he blames the team.
He blames the team and he blames the car. And at the end of the day,
how is that different to the other drivers, Mare? Verstappen does the exact same thing.
Yeah, but I am sorry. I ask of Lewis Hamilton, Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
Not just to be a good driver, not just to be an amazing driver. I asked him to be a perfect driver. And again, perfection requires the ability to say, I am one with the team when things go wrong.
Okay. I am glad we did our own ratings. I don't know. I agree with the rating.
I ask perfection.
Perfection.
Because when I am at work,
oh God.
I ask myself,
what is perfection?
I asked myself, if you were the boss, what would you ask from yourself?
Mm.
And I say nothing but perfection. Because when you start giving yourself excuses for work that is half done, then you have failed altogether. Do you agree or disagree with me?
I agree with your logic. I do not agree with how you can put Perez at a 7 and Hamilton at a 6, but you know what?
How did he begin the year?
It doesn't matter how you begin it, that is the overall result.
Yeah, but he began the year trashing the car, having no faith in the team.
And he was right, the team was trash.
The team was trash.
The car was trash.
When they've given you a perfect car for 7 years almost, for 5 years in a row.
8 years.
Five.
Eight-time world champion. I mean, the team is eight-time world champion.
No, but they gave... Yeah, okay. You're right. when they've given you a car so good for such a long period,
yes,
you should be graceful
with to the take team. The lot.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Okay, to take the lot. Yeah, okay, I agree with you, but that's what makes him so great. He expects greatness from his team. He doesn't accept anything but.
But
and he will demand.
You will understand that I will even understand. In relationships.
Oh God, here we go. Let's gonna compare the car to a woman.
To a relationship. Sometimes I can tell from experience you have a period of your relationship that is just a bed of roses.
Yes.
But sometimes in the relationship, it just so happens that the car is just not so good. Mm. The relationship goes through ups and downs.
Mm.
And the relationship fails when one of the two persons in the relationship, one or more, one should not be constricted by old standards.
By numbers.
But I would say that from my experience, at least, it's formed by two
mm-hmm.
of the, yeah, two persons.
We're getting very personal here.
In that situation, you would think that when one of the two doubts the relationship,
you got a problem.
It's an issue.
Mm.
It's the beginning of the end.
Okay.
And I think,
oh, it's the beginning of the end. So Lewis Hamilton's end is beginning.
Well, when you start questioning, when you start just misplacing your trust, you can no longer work with that team because you start having doubts that go to the very, very core of the relationship. Does it work? Where is this leading? And then there is nowhere to go.
Okay.
Then you just have to accept you are on the exit line.
We are... Listeners, God bless the speech. It was great, but nevertheless...
I have a recent experience in relationships. I have a recent experience. Let me share it with you. You can tell from a mile away...
A mile. Not a kilometer. A mile. An English mile.
A British mile. When the relationship starts to sink. You can tell it from afar.
What? Why did you send a lifeguard out then?
Because unfortunately, relationships do not tolerate lifeguards. It's just two vessels navigating through the ocean at the peril of all there is to be out there.
Mm.
And all there is to save you is just a very fading, a very far away light from a lighthouse that dictates your path to follow. And that is happiness, no more than that. That is joy.
That was poetry right there, Mark.
And you just follow that light. And there is no destination. It's just a journey. Mm. Because that light will dissipate in time and it would get further away.
And then you're done.
And you just have to row with the wind, you know, with the currents. And do with all the comms, because there will be ups and downs, as I said. But the moment you fail to see that light at the very end, then there is no exiting the tunnel. Then is the moment you have to accept, you have to look for a new destination.
Marin, I'm really truly touched that Sir Lewis Hamilton gives you these emotions. It just proves once again that he is the best driver on the field. I'm glad you shared that with us. And I would like to continue with another driver who also would give you those kind of emotions. Maybe a little more passionate emotions. I think you should take the next three and then I will judge your scores.
But let's do one by one because perhaps now three of them, there's so much to say.
My lordship, take your favorite driver and give him a rating out of 10 and explain why and why not.
I will give him a 9 out of 10.
Mm.
I remember a certain teacher I had at law school in York. He was
in Britain.
For all those non, of course, in England, not Britain.
Even
England.
Better.
In the greatest place on earth.
Yes.
York.
No, after London, Macaron.
York. Small town located in the north of England, in Yorkshire.
Of course.
Home to
the Yorkshire.
The Minster. York.
The Minster. Okay.
Yeah, there's a beautiful church there. It's a beautiful town, medieval town. Beautiful, located in an area which is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. located in almost a paradise-like.
Wow, are you trying to sell us the idea of going to Yorkon? That's what that is.
You just have the sea about an hour away from you from in Hulk. You can go to Whitby. You can go to Cleethorpes. You can go to Grimsby to eat seafood. You can visit Harrogate, beautiful place.
Is this a podcast of Formula One or is it an advertisement?
Home to Betis. And you're just an hour away by train.
From London.
From Manchester. London is just 2 hours away.
Who wants to go to Manchester?
By using the Virgin, the faster train. But let me tell you. What was I commenting about?
No. Oh yeah, the teacher.
Oh yeah, the teacher. So this man was a man that taught me many things. He taught us about trust law. Oh,
okay.
And there was this case from the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, which is the greatest, well, it used to be the House of Lords back then, but it is the greatest institution man has ever created. It is an institution that embodies tradition in the perfect sense, because it has brought development, but with caution. It has advanced through case law the rights and obligations of individuals without breaking the social coherence, the social
barriers.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And so this man told us a beautiful story
about Alonso.
About how he graded. He said, all of you guys who are listening to me in this room, you may be very good in law. You're all trash, but assuming some of you are actually competent in what you do, I never grade above an 8. For the simple reason is that when you study a bachelor, you're so far from being aware altogether about life, about law, about everything. You're just something drifting in the ocean, being moved by the currents.
Back to the currents we go. The lighthouse in the distance.
And you're just nothing in an ocean, in a sea of potential. And so he never graded above an 8. And at the time it seemed so illogical. I mean, why not above an 8? I mean, you know, the module learning objectives, MLOs, they told you what you had to achieve to possibly pass the exam or the test or whatever you had. But you were never close enough to achieve them. And that is the key, is that in life, the objective perfection is never attainable. And even if I adore Alonso, even if I am absolutely baffled by his drafting, I cannot come anywhere near his. Yeah. He can't be a 10. It's just as sad as that. Because a 10 would be perfection. And if he attained perfection, he would no longer need to be in Formula One. He would just need to be among the gods. In the Olympus of the Greek Olympus.
Are you telling me this year he's performed to that level that you're going to give him the same grade as Max
Verstappen? He's driven like I have never seen him before.
At the age of?
41. But he's shown to have the acuteness, the awareness in race conditions. Bahrain. I mean, I think that was the beginning of a very happy year. He made some moves, especially over on Hamilton, that were just out of this world. Mm. It showed years of maturity, years of race craft. And then he performed just to perfection all year long. I think of Zandvoort, I think of Monaco. Beautiful. And when things got difficult, he was still there delivering. And when the possibility was close enough to win a race, he was there.
But did he get it?
He led the team, even if they were sand dragging Stroll, he led the team. They were running P2 in the constructors. For so long they could, with just one driver scoring points.
That's true.
He was P3 in the drivers for so long he could, with a car that
two even at some point.
A car that was simply not being developed to the standards of the rest of the team. In Brazil, he delivered a race that will go down in history.
Oh God, here we go.
And in Abu Dhabi, when everything was already decided almost, because what was he playing for? For the honor, for the history books. I mean, he was fighting three drivers, all of them scoring 200 points at that moment. He was fighting Sainz, he was fighting Norris, he was fighting Leclerc, he was fighting absolutely everyone, even Russell, if you like. But he delivered, again, with a car that felt like a tractor down the straights. He delivered. He made a move on Lewis that felt out of this world.
Let me know when you're done. Yeah, carry on.
A bit illegal, but the brake testing, he had to do it. Sometimes in life, let me tell you this story.
You can't justify that. Oh, come on.
Sometimes in life.
Why are you going to make a flag go?
Well, that was a present by my sister many years ago. And I care to put it up in the Christmas tree as a sign of recognition to my dear sister.
Okay.
My heart goes to you.
To the US Grand Prix.
For God. God, what do they say?
Back to the podcast!
In God we trust. Please, take the floor and give us your review.
Aaron, that was...
Okay, we have 30 minutes. Okay, but the rest are useless, so...
Where do I begin? That was a lovely synopsis, if you will, and you will, about Alonso. I agree with you. Your rating, 9 out of 10. I also actually gave him a 9 out of 10.
I would like to thank your girlfriend for this beautiful...
Anytime.
Cookies.
Alonso deserves a 9 out of 10.
She's a good cook.
Of course she's old. No. Alonso deserves a 9 out of 10. He's been fantastic all year. There's no denying it. He was...
Did you just say there's no denying that?
There's no denying it. The car was not as good as that, so I definitely outperformed the car. I wouldn't give him a 10 out of 10 simply because... Yeah, there were some races where maybe he didn't perform up to magic, but 9 out of 10, fantastic. Next driver.
Thank you very much. You go on, please.
Leclerc, I think this is where we're going to disagree, because we have a passion against Leclerc to hate him. I think Leclerc deserves a 7 out of 10. For the simple fact that... In multiple races this year, he's been let down by his team. Never beat Brazil, being an example where the car couldn't even bloody start one lap. Other races where he's been unlucky. Other races where the car sort of let him down. There are moments, of course, reason being why he has a 7 out of 10, that he could have done better. So that's why I gave him a 10 out of 10. He made mistakes himself. But nevertheless, the driver is very quick. And I think if he's been giving a reliable car, he will mess up, for sure. I don't think he's one of the greats, but I think he's very close to it. Or he will get to be very close to it. And yeah, I saw a lot of errors this year from him, from his team. But nevertheless, 7 out of 10 on my end.
Thank you very much. I happen to disagree.
Profoundly. I would not surprised by this performance.
I will give him a 6 out of 10.
Okay, not that far off.
Because he's a good driver. He's a good driver. There's no denying that.
He's got speed.
He's got speed, especially in qualifying. He's very good in qualifying.
Yes.
But he's just fails to meet the quality that a world champion has, which is to know when to push the limits. When it matters. And when he pushes the limits, it just so happens that he overdoes it, crashes, he has some sort of unfortunate collision, failure here and there.
That's true.
The team has failed him, yes, no denying about that. Ferrari, I mean, they failed over and over again. But in contrast to his teammate, Carlos Sainz is able to take a toll when it matters and know that well, you just have to do to deal with the car and then how it is, as he did in Abu Dhabi, as he did in Las Vegas. You just have to kind of deal with it. Bring it home, bring some points, but Leclerc can't. Leclerc loses his patience. I think it's something in his in the way he's wired. He can't just settle it and say, it's better not to overdo it. Bring a car home, bring 4 points, than to overdo it and potentially bring one more point.
Yeah. He goes in all in or all out. Yeah. There's no medium.
And when he's faced with drivers like Verstappen in a fight, in a one-to-one,
you're not going to win.
He's just short of it. Like in Abu Dhabi, he had the one opportunity to overtake Verstappen out of the racing line. And he did the cautious thing, which was to understand, I can't take him. I mean, in the long run, I'm not going to take him. I'm just going to stay behind. Yes, good. That is the sort of attitude you have to have. But then he failed the team failed, and I think he was just not reactive enough. When the team failed to begin with, because they should have told him, Russell is behind, Perez is behind, he's got a 5 second penalty, let's work it together. They left him to do the strategy, which at the end of the day is absolutely moronic. So
that's
the team.
So 6 out of 10, okay.
6 out of 10.
Okay. Next driver, we have Lando Norris.
Lando Norris.
Fantastic, actually. He is a guy who shows maturity this year. A couple of mistakes, but I'm going to give it to him. He was fantastic in the sense that I think the car was atrocious in the beginning of the year. I think that's undeniable. And then it really improved. But he outperformed that car. I don't think it was P2 on some race days, and he stayed P2.
Silverstone
was fantastic. Brazil was fantastic. It looks boring, but in Brazil, he maintained P2 and there was no one competing with him. Obviously, Verstappen is faster car. You can't compete, but he maintained too. So it's impressive. 9 out of 10 for me. Fantastic.
9 out of 10.
Did a fantastic job. You could argue for an 8 because he made a couple of mistakes, but I think he's been a fantastic driver.
On my side, that's an 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. He was very good. He made a couple of mistakes which are very, very, very honest and very, fair. It just happens. Very solid driving. And when the car was on fire, he just over-delivered. I mean, the car was on fire, but he just brought it even further. Like Silverstone, he did just an amazing race. I mean, he just had some performances, I think, of Singapore, even if he didn't finish P2. If he finished P2, the way he dealt with the guys behind, beautiful.
Very good. I want you to take the next driver.
Sainz. I will give him an 8 out of 10. And you might think that's too much. But I think his strength is not exactly speed. Whereas Leclerc's strength is speed. Sainz is his ability to read races. He's just the sort of driver that brings you solid points race after race. Mm-hmm. He's not amazing. He doesn't shine. He's not the guy you want in a team because he's going to bring you headlines in news, in on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. But he's the sort of driver that at the end of the year, you do your math review and you say points here, points there. And he has brought a solid and consistent number of points all through the races. And sometimes it's like Silverstone, like the victory in Silverstone. You think, he was good, but it wasn't amazing.
It wasn't, yeah.
He's not the kind of driver that just sort of stuck in your head. But hell, he's good. Mm-hmm. And the proof that he's very psychological in the way he approaches a race is Singapore. In a race where the team was just slipping, you wonder, where's Ferrari? He was doing the strategy and he was saying, hey, the guys that are down there, they're not fighting how they should. They've actually got some breathing space. Let's bunch them up together and see how they fight. Because at the end of the day, Formula One, many other things, you have to divide and conquer. Mm. And he's the sort of driver that can see this into play. And then all the drivers have actually copied him, like Russell in Japan, and they are like, oh, that actually works. Let's do that also. Yeah.
I agree. I gave him a 7 out of 10, but I agree with the points. I think he matches Leclerc in rating, but as you said, completely different driver styles. He's always consistent. You can rely on him consistently. You can't rely on him on speed, but you can rely on him on delivering his max potential, which is a fantastic quality to have as a driver. Leclerc, you can't rely on that. You can Leclerc is going to give you those pole positions, those race wins, perhaps if he has the car that can keep up. Sainz, I think he's going to always consistently deliver, and that's something you need in a car that isn't the best car in the field. You need someone to score points when it matters most.
When it just happens to be Ferrari, exactly. Very often.
Third, fourth, fifth, those points actually do add up, hence Hamilton being P3 in the Drivers' Championship. So, yeah, Sainz, 7 out of 10. You could argue for an 8, like you said, because he won the race. He won the only non-Red Bull race of the year, which I know it's Singapore, but nevertheless, he won it. It doesn't make a difference, so it's fantastic. Yeah, Ferrari have a problem in their hands in the future because they're going to have two drivers that are very different. And if that car gets dominant, it's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, for now, 7 out of 10, no discussions. Very good.
Russell, next, you're Brit.
The British Russell. I'm going to be harsh with this. Relative to last year, for me this year, 5 out of 10. Disappointing. Very disappointing. He finished the race, finished the year well. 8 out of 10 in some races. Abu Dhabi was very good. Mature handling, did well. Overperformed the
car. They owed him to him.
They owed the points to him for sure. But in the majority of the year, he made... Hungary, my God, what happened there? Qualifying P18 out of the race, completely ridiculousness. He was caught off guard in too many races, and you could see that in the detriment of the points. He harmed the team ultimately. Of course, they got P2, but they could have done a lot better. And I know it's himself. He admitted himself he didn't have a good year. So I'm not surprised that he admitted himself it wasn't a good year. I know he's better than this. That's why I'm being harsh, because he is a driver deserving of a Mercedes position. He's a driver who can fight for world championships for sure. He's a competitor. I give him a 5 because I know how he performed last year, and I know this year wasn't a good year. So that's why I give him a 5.
Thank you very much. I will give him a 6. I'm actually really going to be a bit more gentle than you. I would say that his biggest liability is his ego at the moment. In a team that has had issues with the car, because, I mean, there's no denying about that. Having a car that came home P2 doesn't really show where the car actually belongs to. It was definitely not a P2 car. It was more a P4, P5, I would say. And knowing that you are fighting, struggling to get a car working, I will say the same as I said to Verstappen. You have to play teammate. And Russell showed an ego and an inability to accept his position that is just very, very dangerous for a team. In Japan, where he openly challenged the team and Lewis, in race conditions where you're most definitely just fighting the two of them, you're putting a risk two cars of the same team going straight against the wall. The result of that is very, very dangerous. And Russell, for some strange reason, just couldn't see the risk there. And thank God, nothing happened.
Could have cost them.
But for the same price, it was a no for the two cars, and they would have lost P2. So it's something that when you're fighting and struggling with a car, do I have to stay behind my teammate? Well, too bad. I'm sorry, but too bad.
Yeah.
It just so happens to be the case that sometimes you just accept a result that is not what you want. Your ego might tell you that you want to go finish ahead of your teammate. But come on, Lewis is a 7-time world champion. I honestly think that Russell, in spite of his raw talent, is just behind in terms of priority in the team. There is the main driver, who's Lewis. That is undeniable. And Russell just has to accept that he's the second driver.
Yeah. For now, yeah.
And he's just hasn't got integrated that in his head. He's just sometimes trying to show that he's just equal to Lewis, which he isn't. As simple as that.
I agree. Oscar Piastri, Rookie of the Year, fantastic. For me, 8 out of 10, undeniable. I was amazed in some races that he actually outperformed Lando Norris, because Lando Norris is nothing to scoff at. He's a very, very good driver. Particularly in Qatar, he was just, and Belgium, he was fantastic. And Lando Norris is actually nowhere to be seen relative to him. So you got to give the guy credit. I think my favorite race of him was actually in Great Britain, because when they raced in Silverstone, he was a couple of tenths off Lando Norris, but to see him up there with him just shows how consistent he is and how actually he's the real deal. To do that in your first year and to not be way off with a driver who's that good, and Lando, who's experienced, he's driven, what, 3, 4, 5 years already? It's impressive. So for me, 8 out of 10, fantastic. And I would be worried if I were Lando, because that guy, in 2 or 3 years...
he's showing potential.
Yeah, this guy could be much quicker than Lando.
I will be a bit more cautious. I will give him a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone might remember that I was very, very critical about Piastri at the beginning of the year. I said that I had no hopes whatsoever for him. I thought he was brought to Formula 1 too soon.
Mm-hmm.
He's very young. He's already in a team that is competitive, at least at the end of the year. Yes, you mentioned earlier, the beginning of the year was atrocious, but the end of the year was absolutely stellar. Is he a fully fledged driver? He isn't. I mean, it's his first year, Rookie of the Year, absolutely. He's shown, I mean, very, very mature racing, good racecraft. He has delivered a pole, not bad for him.
Just won
the sprint race,
which is impressive.
Which is impressive indeed. Is he up to the standards of Norris? I don't think he's yet. He has to remain, I think, conscious of the fact that he's still in a learning curve, and it will continue to be the case for 3-4 years. The risk is running at the moment is to get too confident. To think he's already fully fledged, he's already learned everything, and then go on to commit errors that are improper of a driver of his standards. We'll see. I think Zach Brown has a challenge ahead of him to keep him realistic, to make him understand that he's had a good year, that he's competitive, but he remains a rookie. He remains a young driver, and he needs to learn to communicate with the team, to develop the car, to actually build a weekend, which he's done it almost to perfection, but it's just a learning curve.
Yeah, I agree. Lance Stroll. Oh, mamma mia. My least favorite driver on that, or one of my least favorite drivers on the track, given that he shouldn't even be on the track. Money talks. I gave him a 4 out of 10. He's been absolutely atrocious. What bothers me so much about Lance Stroll is that when he gets P5 or P4 or P6, we all get amazed, because that's actually an outperformance for him, and that just shows how bad he is as a driver, because with that car, was not amazing, but in certain races, it was the top 3 car. Top 3, let's be fair. There were some races where it was better than the Mercedes and the Ferrari, and you expect the top 3. That's fair to say in some races. He was atrocious this year. When that car was top 5, there was no way he was finishing the points. Alonso was. You can't compare Alonso to Stroll. He never will be Alonso. But Lance this year, in some other years, he shows weird potential. He finishes high in one race, but he has no consistency whatsoever, that's for sure. He shouldn't be in an F1 seat, that's for sure. And this year just epitomizes all those points. He was just atrocious.
I will grant him a 5 out of 10.
Mm.
The only time I think he's been up to the standards was Brazil.
Yeah.
Where he showed the sort of driving you would expect from a Aston Martin driver, knowing that the car was competitive. He showed a decent pace in Las Vegas. He showed a decent pace in Abu Dhabi. Now I wonder where he's been the rest of the year. Has it been lack of confidence? Where did he find it suddenly out of the blue? Did the development of the car change and suddenly help his driving style? I don't know. But it's just incredible. I mean, he's been consistently at the back of the track, and then suddenly he finds confidence in the pace, which you wonder how.
Where was that?
Yeah, because I mean, he's straight at the end of the day in Formula One. Sometimes he has a very good race, and you're like, oh, okay, incredible. I remember his first pole position in Monza in the rain, horrible conditions. You're like, not bad.
Azerbaijan, Baku, we got P3 or whatever.
And then you see all the races and you're like, he doesn't belong in Formula One. I mean, he's just not quick. He's not, doesn't belong to Formula One. What's happening?
That just epitomizes him, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
That's about it for Stroll. Gasly, I know you don't like Gasly. I like him.
The French donkey.
I like him. There's another French donkey, but anyway, he's not the French donkey. There's another one. You know what? I changed my grade by one. I'd give him a 6 out of 10. I feel that to be a driver to come to a new team on an already beat your teammate is impressive, because his teammate has been there for quite a long time in Alpine, let's not lie. So that car should be pretty hard.
But his teammate is.
But his teammate happens to be an absolute... Anyway, that's next. But it's still impressive nevertheless. At the start of the year, he didn't look that good. He definitely developed at the end of the year. Then he had a couple of bad races, which were not so impressive. But he definitely outqualified his teammate. Yeah, he showed some positives. He can do better, but give him a year or two and that team will be his. Yeah. 6 out of 10
for me. I will give him a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10? Okay.
But so I concur with you. I concur in that the start of the year was slow, but it's very fair, because, I mean, you're in a new team, they work differently. He was coming from a different atmosphere, coming from the Red Bull context, which I think they managed their drivers very differently. So it's like a growing up step, like you are getting out of your family environment, you're going into the wildness. Absolutely fair. Fair start to the year. I mean, he's a driver that has been in Red Bull, he's a driver that has the shot at greatness, and he definitely knows how to lead a team. He's shown that in AlphaTauri. I think he's contributed massively to Noda's performance overall.
Yeah.
He's led the AlphaTauri over the period he was at the team. He has had to deal with people like Verstappen, and fairly, he didn't do that bad. It's just, I think that he was boycotted.
That was a weird one, yeah. That I would believe
it was the performance during his time in Red Bull. It was
very weird,
very strange. So for me, it's a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
5, I would say more in the five in the positive side than in the 5 in the lower end of the scale. Positive in that, yeah, it's good.
He did what he did, yeah. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Tell me.
Ocon. Straight to the point, 4 out of 10. He was on the par with Stroll this year. Some races, he shows speed. That's undeniable. He finished P3 in one race. I don't remember which one it was, but he finished P3 in one of them. I think it was Monaco, actually. He is the most annoying driver on the field, because I feel like he has a certain cockiness that really rubs me the wrong way, and I feel like he thinks he's the next Schumacher, and he doesn't understand that his name is Ocon and doesn't even rhyme with Schumacher, and he never will be anything like this. He's not young, neither is Gasly, so I see immaturity in both of them, but I see too much in Ocon. Mistakes with his nemesis. Alonso, let's not get started with that. Yeah, that guy needs a really big thing during the winter break, because his mentality is wrong and he is way too cocky over what he thinks he is. He can do a lot better than what he is. I expected more from him this year. 4 out of 10.
Thank you very much.
Just disappointed.
To me, he's a 2 out of 10.
Oh boy, I'm surprised we go negative with this one.
I mean, there are 4 drivers, I think, at the moment in Formula 1 that don't belong to the grid. He's most certainly one of them.
That's for sure.
And it is annoying, because some drivers, you would say, you don't belong to the grid because you don't have the speed. But Ocon, when he wants,
yes,
He has the speed, and he's aggressive like no other driver. He's too aggressive. When he's on behind the wheel,
there's no brakes.
I mean, it just seems that he has no whatsoever regard for safety. I mean, if he has to collide with you, so be it. I mean, he will push you against the wall like he did on Alonso on
Brazil.
Saudi.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
In the same team, nevertheless.
Yes, sure. I mean, you want to crush your teammate and see him dead. Fair enough. The fights that he brings are unnecessary. But yeah, his cockiness. I mean, it's just the sort of driver that looks at himself in the mirror and he sees himself crowned Napoleon. He thinks of himself some sort of the heir to the throne in Formula One. Is the natural leader, is a natural Schumacher. And it just happens not to be the case. He's a liability in terms of safety. He creates accidents that are just out of this world. He puts in peril his teammates. Yeah. I mean, even with Gasly, I mean, let's not talk about Alonso, but even Gasly, same nationality, they should get along. I mean, at the end, I mean, they don't get along because of history, but anyways, they're on the same team, and he continues to hit on the same spot over and over again. You wonder, what are you looking for? And then the team, they sacrifice Gasly's position for Ocon because he needs to be wrapped like a baby and tell him, oh, it's all right. You know, we're actually going to artificially let you by so that you don't cry, because then you get all bitchy and you get all annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he goes on the radio and then, or on the media, and then he goes all ballistic like he did in Brazil. He crashes against Alonso. And somehow he goes in the media and he's like, oh my gosh, they tried to kill me. And you're like, boy, are you on drugs? And then, yeah, he doesn't have a filter in his mouth. He's just, yeah, he's crazy.
His character is terrible, yeah, that's for sure.
He's crazy. And then, like, when Verstappen back in the days in Brazil,
when
they hit each other, I mean, good for Verstappen. Somebody needed to slap the man and tell him where his place was. Good for you.
That was special. Yeah, Ocon, I agree. Character-wise, 0 out of 10. The guy is mentally deranged. On to another driver. Albon. Very good year. Very good year. I think he's a very strong positive for Williams. I think he will guide them to a mid-table team. I hope to see them back. I don't want to see them struggling anymore. They've had enough struggling. Rich history. Very rich history. British.
Dollington
Park or whatever. Anyway. Albon, I'm going to give him an 8. Mm. He did a really good year. I think he outperformed the car by far. That car was not what it was. Obviously, his teammate is not the best. In fact, the opposite of that. But he maintained a positive attitude in a very difficult car, which is good. He scored very important points. And that team finished P7 in the Constructors, which is very impressive. I think the highest in a while. Very positive attitude. Then he should be happy. Obviously, this guy should not be in a team this bad. So I hope that the team improves, because he is definitely at the level of a mid to high driver. I think he's shown maturity. I'm impressed by him. Good year.
Good year. But I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10. And, I mean, good leading. I mean, he's a good driver. An asset for the team, most definitely.
For sure.
He leads the team with a teammate that is, unfortunately, not up to the standard. If he had a good, solid teammate, I think that team could perform so much better, even if the car is just missing some fundamental performance here and there. But in places where the top speed was essential, he just smashed it. I remember Silverstone, he got all the free practices, topping the charts. That's incredible. With the Williams, impressive.
That's very impressive. Yeah, very impressive.
Now, I suggest we do the following drivers, the remaining drivers all together, because, I mean, there isn't much more to say.
Go for it. Okay, you first.
You go.
I go first. Tsunoda, 6 out of 10. Could have done better. Too many mistakes by himself. He annoyed me, that's for sure. He's an annoying driver because he's too aggressive. But made too many errors. 6 out of 10. Could have done better. Bottas, 5 out of 10. I didn't see anything from that team. Atrocious team performance. And the drivers didn't do much. Didn't stand out. Boring. 5 out of 10. Hülkenberg, driver of the backfield. Fantastic on the level of Albon. Outqualified that car so many times. I give him a 7 because in the race nothing happened. But very impressive. He's shown that he deserves to be in a Formula 1 car. That's for sure. Ricardo, 6 out of 10. Too few races, but when he was there, yes, P4 Mexico qualification was amazing.
Let me hold you on that.
Tell me.
The man got called midway through the year. Fair enough.
Yes.
So he comes new to a team, and the first thing he does is break his wrist on an accident that was strange.
Very strange.
He was going to crash into another driver in order to avoid it. He took avoiding action. Crash against the wall. Holds to the steering for some strange reason. Break his wrist. From a driver who's got so many years in Formula 1, that sounds like a rookie mistake.
He has that in him. He's like a worse version of Leclerc, basically. When he makes mistakes, they look pretty...
Donkey-ish.
Especially last year with Lando Norris, where he was not even close to that. Yeah, I agree with you. That's why 6 out of 10. He doesn't deserve a Red Bull seat, that's for sure, but I think he will get it.
Do you think he's a threat to Perez?
I think he is, because I don't think anyone else wants to take Perez's seat. I don't. Who else can take it?
But do you think Lando? He deserves, again, a Red Bull?
No, he doesn't deserve it. I think he will just fall into it like a lucky chicken, because no one else is going to get it, because no one else wants it. Unless Red Bull want to put Lando in there and create an absolute volcano of fighting, which would be very interesting, and I want to see
that. I would pay for that.
But there's no way in hell Red Bull are going to do that, because they have their number one driver. Guan Yu Zhou, 5 out of 10.
China's coming out.
I'm not pro-China, so 5 out of 10. Boring like Bottas, the team was not good. Magnussen, awful, 3 out of 10. Really, really, his teammate... prove that he shouldn't be in Formula 1. Magnussen, I fear for him. I don't see him much more longer in that. Lawson, very impressive. 7 out of 10. When he came on, he played well. Obviously, too few races to give him a full year grade, but 7 out of 10. Sargeant, 4 out of 10. Atrocious in certain races. Bad overall. He shouldn't be in Formula 1. Don't know what he's doing there. Clearly has some kind of connection with the team because he's American. I don't know what. And finally, my boy Nick DeVries. Obviously, you can only give him a 0 because he's been kicked out. Yeah, he was...
a 0!
0 out of 10. Ooh! He was nowhere close to racing. Yeah, off you go. Off with his head.
Thank you for your submission. And, well, Tsunoda's a 6 for me.
Same.
I concur with your grading. I concur with your comments. Bottas is a 6.
Yeah.
He hasn't failed to me because the car was... atrocious, of course, but he's...
What did he do?
Yeah, he didn't do anything. I think it shows that the victories he got when he was in Mercedes were very substantially due to the car and the sheer performance of that car. When he's been placed in a car that is very much at the back of the field...
You don't see him shine, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hülkenberg, I will give him a 6.
What?
A 6.
Come on. Qualifying, he shot
qualifying,
like
amazing. Race conditions, not good enough.
Okay, that's harsh.
I know that Alonso is a big fan of Hülkenberg, but...
I think that's a harsh grade. Okay.
That's a harsh grade. Ricciardo.
Oh, you hate this guy. P4 qualifying in Mexico.
In Mexico? I don't know how he did that.
Well, I think we do. Red Bull had a little bit of a helping
hand.
Yeah,
I think suddenly, somehow, Helmut came and said, why do you twist that knob and find some performance? I'll give him a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
And I think that is being very, very gracious.
Oh, wow.
Very gracious.
God, how gracious of you.
Because he shouldn't be in Formula 1 to begin with.
Oh. Actually, he was atrocious with Lando.
He was kicked out of a team of the likes of McLaren. He destroyed the team last year because he was being such a liability for a whole year I think McLaren at some point just lost the ability to develop the car because
he was terrible.
Yeah. He was terrible. I mean, he was not even, he was comparable to Sargent. I think that's how bad he was. Fair enough. Zhou, would you like to pronounce the name properly?
Guanyu Zhou.
I think he's a 5 out of 10. Magnussen, 5 out of 10.
Okay, that's a lot. That's generous for me, but anyway.
He has his ups and downs. It's quite annoying that he's been longer in the team than Hülkenberg, because he was recalled. He had an amazing year last year at the beginning, the two, three first race of the year, and then he vanished. He's been there now for 2 years, and Hülkenberg came near this year, and suddenly he performed better, especially towards the end of the year. Lawson, 7 out of 10.
Very good.
Very, very...
Impressive.
Impressive, indeed.
And he's a rookie. He's not
called out of the blue. He's a rookie. Hasn't been in Formula... I mean, he hasn't driven a Formula 1 ever, and he's able to perform. I would definitely kick out bloody Ricciardo and put Lawson there.
I love that.
Sargent, a 4 out of 10. And that is being gracious. That is being very gracious, because I mean, 3 out of 10. Let's leave it at 3 out of 10.
Actually, I'm going to change the 3 to 8. It's been atrocious.
It's been atrocious.
The less said, the better. Let's just say it like that.
3 out of 10. It's enough. I think the only races that he's been fair was the last races. The couple of last races, he wasn't amazing, but he more or less delivered. He got into Q3, which is fair, and you would expect that, especially when Albon was able to at least in qualifying, to be quite decent. And then De Vries. You know, I like De Vries. I think I expected a lot from him. I think he just didn't find his place in the team all through the year. 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
I cannot give him a 0, because most definitely
I want to go all out.
He's a Formula E driver. He has won the championship there. He's solid. It's just that he...
Something happened.
Didn't click with the team. For whichever reason. But things happen sometimes in Formula 1. You just don't work. And so, 4 out of 10 for me. And that is the drivers, I believe.
That is the drivers, I believe. This is a very long podcast, but we have to finish it, because it's a special episode nevertheless.
And now the teams.
The teams. Oh, God. So we're going to start chronologically. We're going to start by finish. And who finished first? Of course, Red Bull finished.
Red Bull.
The car was, the ratings here are a mix of car performance and team handling for me. Yes, I will just amend my grade by a slight knot. Red Bull get a 9 out of 10. 9... Because obviously I put a little bit more weight on the car performance than team handling, because at the end of the day you can be the best team handlers in the world but get 0 points, it doesn't really mean that much. So their performance of the car was, when was the last time we saw such a dominant car? Mercedes, one of the years, not every year for sure. Maybe the first year actually Mercedes joined, they were that dominant. They just didn't have reliability. Red Bull had amazing reliability. Their car didn't break down. In general, the cars have good reliability.
It didn't break down a single race.
Not a race, which is
not a single
weird.
Fire like Ferrari, which happened to barbecue their cars.
Yeah,
very average two races.
You saw that with Mercedes the first year. The first year they won the constructors when Lewis won the world championship. They had races where the car's reliability was not good, and they just gave up. So Red Bull 9 out of 10, fantastic speed, reliability. By far and away, the biggest gap in race pace I've seen in a long time in a car. Fantastic. The qualifying was not that big of a gap, but the race pace... Towards the end of the year. Should we do one by one, or... Let's do it two by two.
For me, it's a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
Mercedes next. We finished P2 in the Constructors. I give them a 7 out of 10. Reason being, I don't think they are a P2 car, so clearly they've done something good, because the car's performance is not P2, but yet they finished P2, which is good. And also bad, because the car performance is not there. But anyway, nevertheless, the handling of the situation is good, because if you don't have a performance as P2 and you finish P2, it's impressive. So I give them a 7 out of 10. Anything to say about that?
I will call for a small recess. Having resumed the conversation, I would say Mercedes is a 4 out of 10.
What? Oh my lord, how could someone who can finish P2 as a 4?
May I say I am very harsh on Mercedes because of my animosity towards them. That said, I have to say that they tried a innovative solution with the zero-pot technology, which didn't work. That last year, this year they brought at the beginning a 0.5 zero-pot approach with substantially bigger pots, but there still was the zero-pot design. It didn't fail. And they were impressive on how they were able to flip the situation and bring a car that was completely new design, and actually make it work within 4 or 5 races. I wonder the budget, how they worked it.
No questions asked.
But in time we'll know about that. I'm not sure they did respect the budget. I would be very surprised, because knowing that all the teams that had one model and they developed only one model, they struggled with the budget. I wonder how they did that, but...
innovative.
Only in time we'll know that. A 4 out of 10, because, I mean, some races they brought a car that was a tractor. I mean, it was just...
And yet,
but I think the drivers have been very solid in the hat, and in that they've amazingly been able to bring points at every single race. And at the end of the Formula One, at the end of the day, is a world where you have to be consistent, and that is the key to success in Formula One. Raikkonen is the proof of that. He won the world championship not by being the shiniest star on the sky, but by bringing points every race one over again. And Mercedes is proof of that this year. The floor is yours, my dear.
4 out of 10. Okay. A little bit harsh, but it is what it is.
The guy driving nowadays is telling me that he doesn't agree with me, but sure.
Ferrari, I mean, I gave Mercedes
is out in Formula One?
They will be. if I gave Mercedes a 7 out of 10, so Ferrari for me are a 5 out of 10.
I agree.
I can't believe you're going to agree with Ferrari a 5 out of 10 and Mercedes a 4 out of 10, but anyway, let's not discuss that. Their car was on and off, like Mercedes, but I think their car was a little bit more consistent, but their team strategy was... basically, you could put a monkey in as a team strategy, and I think they would have the same strategy performance.
Probably
I don't know who they have there. If is he drunk, high, or just non-responsive? They don't have...
Or has he ever watched the Formula One?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's watching soccer. He's confused. I don't know what's happening.
Soccer. Are we Americans?
Yeah, we are. So, I don't know what's happening at Ferrari, but they are... consistently for a decade now the most hilarious team to watch strategy wise. They don't have a strategy. Very weird to watch. And whenever they have a strategy, it's hilarious. So yeah.
Plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, plan F.
The drivers seem confused. Yeah, 5 out of 10 for me. They could do a lot better. A drop off from last year for sure.
A 5 out of 10 for me. I absolutely subscribe to your comments. I would even be harsh. I think they just don't belong to Formula One. I mean, strategy-wise, they should be running a local go-karting team in your. I mean, it's at best, because sometimes you go into the pits, they're not ready. The tires are still waiting there to be prepared. When things matter and you've got drivers behind you breathing down your neck, Ferrari's still thinking about what they're going to have as Bolognese in Sunday, or whether perhaps a spaghetti, not caring about the race. And then the driver said, oh, should we do that? And they're like, oh, well,
that's a good idea.
Interesting.
We didn't think about that.
Yeah, exactly. The first news we get. Alex.
Incredible. McLaren. McLaren for me are at 8 out of 10.
8?
8 out of 10. Reason being is last year they were not... if I give Mercedes a 7, I have to give McLaren an 8. Obviously, McLaren finished the year as the second best team for half of the year. Maybe they were fantastic. First half, they were in no man's land. Second half, they were the second best team. There's no discussing that. you should give them a 7 maybe or a 6 because this first half of the year was just so bad. But because where they started and where they finished is very impressive to me, it just shows that cars can be developed, and it's not how you start, but they actually can be developed during the year, and you can see huge progress. There was nothing more exciting than seeing them in Great Britain. That was a fantastic race, and seeing that car out of nowhere suddenly overtake Verstappen in the first lap with Lando and holding it for a couple of laps was heartwarming, to say the least.
The Union Jack,
I have to say an 8 out of 10 because they were not the second best team last year, or the third, or the fourth. So it's good to see that they have improved vastly, and I hope it continues, honestly. Very good.
On my end, it's going to be a 6 out of 10.
You're very harsh.
I'm very harsh because...
You don't like teams. I don't know what it is. You're harsh.
I mean, when in Formula 1 and there's so many millions involved in the sport, I think you have to be very demanding. Mm. And when you see teams like Ferrari, that they bring cars that are not up to the standard, are not up to the scratch. When you see blunt mistakes, you say, this is not possible. You're investing so much money, but at the end of the day, the most important asset that a team has is their people. People that are engineers that are working on the clock. They have this insane schedule. They are running around the globe. Missing their families. I mean, they just don't have a life, do they? Because...
Yeah, it's demand. Very demand.
It's like Russell said. I mean, we are on going through airports, packing for 23 races a year. You just don't see your people. I mean, drivers are lucky enough to be able to afford and to be able to have the support of the team to bring their companions, to bring their family here and there. But to do that on a consistent basis, you just can't have a life. And you see, because in people like Alonso and people like Lewis, they just can't have relationships because no one in their good graces will accept
that you are
away for half of the year, that you are only thinking about Formula One. And this is a commitment that the drivers, that everyone in the team makes. And then to see these mistakes, these failures by the teams, you think it's just not acceptable. You're letting down a whole team. Your mistake actually then has repercussions in such a significant manner, which is quite unacceptable. So this is why I'm very harsh. And yeah, 6 out of 10. They had a poor start to the year, which I guess is due to the fact that they had this change with Andreas Seidel. They left the team. It was a moment of perhaps an uneasiness within the team. You change who is your boss. You don't know where the direction is. I think Stella is the new team principal, in spite of being in Tottenham. He's a very well structured, a very good manager, and that he's been able to place a target, a light bulb, as I said, a lighthouse at the very end of the in the horizon, and to tell the team, this is where we're going, this is how we're filling in. And the two drivers, I think, are the key in the success, in that both drivers have developed the car. They have helped the team massively to go where they are. Because I think the teams suffer often with this issue where when the two drivers are fighting each other, they lose track of the development. And you see that pairs that have worked, like Carlos Sainz and Norris, is because they were developing the car insanely. They were pushing each other to the limits. And other teams, like pairs like Leclerc and Sainz, they're just not pushing each other. They're actually fighting each other. Other pairs like Hamilton and Russell, I'm not sure they're actually working together in tandem. So pairs are very important. I think the pair they have here in McLaren is very solid, at least for the time being, as long as Piastri doesn't bite Norris, which shall come soon enough.
Yeah, will come eventually. They were lucky this year. Aston Martin, I give them a 7 out of 10. They were the star babies of the year initially. Everyone looked at them and they were like, oh baby.
They made a miracle.
They made a miracle happen. They deserve credit for that. They dropped off. I think that was to be expected. They were not going to maintain that status for long, but you have to give credit to them where credit's due. They gave a car that was at times second best, but you could say on average third or fourth best. They had one driver who outperformed that car, and I'm good for that team because it gave them confidence to keep on building. I'm positive about this team. I think they can maintain it. I hope they do, because you want to see Alonso up there. Yeah, and it was good to see. Honestly, it was good to see a non-Mercedes Ferrari team be P2 and push Red Bull at sometimes to their limits, especially in Monaco. So, impressive.
Well, I agree with you. For me, it's a 6 out of 10.
Mm.
The leap they had at the beginning of the year, coming from the very back last year to the top charts at the beginning of the year, incredible. And I don't think people understand how difficult it is in Formula One, because the development, finding a tenth of a second is almost impossible. So finding literally seconds is almost rocket science. Yeah. Is just beyond the grasp of teams. And you see that year by year, the cars developed, the development of the car just brings a couple of tenths every year. It's not seconds that they improve. And they were able to do that with a new management, with a new team. Incredible. Now, where they failed is in the development. They just, I think, misapprehended the importance of development. They brought a very competitive car and they said, the job is done. Let's go have some beers. And Alonso was very critical at the beginning of the year. But he said very, very acutely, this is only the beginning, but we need to most certainly develop the car over and over again, like consistently and on a regular basis, if we want to stay in the fight. And that's where they failed. And
yeah,
it showed that they were not mature, they're not, I think, used to being at the forefront, whereas teams with drivers that are very, very, very confident in that sense, and they've got experience, Red Bull, Mercedes, they know they bring an average car at the beginning of the year, but they say, let's wait a second, I'm going to bring updates. And they work. Because Aston Martin had an issue, actually, on that point, I would like to add. They brought updates, but just they didn't work over and over again. And they had to send them back to a factory and then bring them back, which, not good enough.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't show the strength there. Alpine, for me, 3 out of 10. Atrocious here. They were in no man's land. They were somewhere stuck in the middle where they were not... They could rely at least on the fact that they're not a god-awful car, but they're also nowhere near competitive to the top five teams. They could finish sixth, but it was a long-distance sixth to the other teams. Their drivers must have been disappointed at the team. Yeah, overall, that team, I just... French cars, not good.
I'll rate them 2 out of 10. I mean, having Ocon in your team is just liability altogether, so I don't expect you to be any better than that, because... What a donkey. French cars, I think they have an issue in general, and that is important in Formula One, is that they don't have the winning mentality.
Mm.
They are there and they are content when they have a good race. And Alonso said it when he left Alpine. It's something fundamental to the team that they're satisfied with mediocrity. And you just can't have that in Formula One. In Toto, I think is a shining perfect example of that. Nothing but victory, an absolute victory in the most military sense. You have to obliterate your enemy in order to call it victory. And Alpine, they kind of, I mean, they get a couple of points and they're like, we had a good race. Let's go home, drink some champagne, have some foie gras, oysters, and we'll have a good weekend off. And the amount of reshuffling they have had in the team is unsustainable. I mean, they kicked out Otmar, they now kicked out Flavio again, the team, the development of whatever it was. I mean, in a couple of years they have changed the whole team.
It's a disaster.
What are they looking for? I mean, Formula One is about stability. You need to have a boss and you know how he works, and consistency is key to Formula One, and they are the opposite. I mean, every 2 days they will have a new management.
They might be the next Williams, which would be deserving. They somehow are still a mid-table team, but yeah, they are.
And the car, surprisingly, was competitive at times.
sort of, yeah, it's
one race, they were annoying and they were running fourth and they even had a podium and you're like, impressive. And then suddenly they're fighting P18 and they're like
back where they belong.
Yeah, and you're like, it's frustrating. How did that happen?
AlphaTauri, 5 out of 10 for me. I would even give them a 4 out of 10 because I think that they got a helping hand for sure from Red Bull. They suddenly found pace at the end of the year. Very, very questionable. And a lot of pace at that, not just any man of pace. So it was a little bit weird to see that. The team was very slow during the year. They kicked their driver out, Nick de Vries. I don't like the idea of sister teams in general in Formula One because I don't like them. But in this scenario, I just...
They're rebranding next year.
What are they going to call themselves next year? We don't know yet.
Racing Bulls.
No.
Yeah.
Racing Bulls?
Racing Bulls.
No way.
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Yes.
Oh my god. If they do, God help us all. They didn't do well this year. They put a shoddy car that was a mess. And yeah, they could have done better.
To me, it's a 1 out of 10.
Yeah. 1 out of 10.
Jesus. 1 out of 10. I'm very harsh. And the unbearable thing to think about is that they do receive some help here and there from Red Bull, because it's not ordinary to see a team fighting for P18 and suddenly Mexico P3. I mean, something must have happened in the meantime to find that extra performance out of the blue. And with that, I rest my case.
I agree. I'll do the next three in order. Alfa Romeo, 2 out of 10. They were atrocious this year. Haas, 3 out of 10. Atrocious. And Williams, I'll give them a 5 out of 10. Showed some positive signs. I hope they improve.
On to me, Alfa Romeo, 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
The only thing they have had perfect was the livery. The most beautiful livery of the grid, in my opinion. Perhaps second to Aston Martin. The Aston Martin green is a beautiful green. Red Bull, I don't like their livery. Ferrari, atrocious, except the one in Las Vegas.
That was
white and red, that was beautiful. Mercedes, the livery, please change that.
Yeah.
It just looks like a...
Batman.
No, but I mean, the shape itself, I don't know, it's just hard to look at.
Alpine's a license.
Oh my gosh.
Just complete awful.
But no, but Alfa Romeo, they have beautiful liveries. And especially the one in Monza tribute to Italy, yeah, I think that was beautiful.
That was good. But the car.
But the car. Well, you put inside, for God's sake. Jesus. Throw it out the window. I mean, it's only worth its flesh and pound. I mean, it's atrocious. Haas, 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean.
Is there anyone who hasn't gotten the bus?
It's. Okay. I mean, a tractor.
Yeah.
A Ford 150
could be faster than that.
It's the old Ferrari, yes. Probably undeveloped. They run almost, is it like a sister team? But it's just true. And the guy they have running it, I mean, he's a funny guy.
Gunther. But come on.
But he's. I'm sorry, but Formula One is not about making jokes, yeah. About making memes.
I think it's time for
you. You need somebody that is serious, that it's there to lead the team forward. And this Gunther Steiner is definitely not the guy you need. He's been there over too long. He's just stagnated in his own way of thinking. He had some crazy years with young drivers, Mick Schumacher and the Russian dude. Mazepin, who's now a DJ.
I missed that guy.
Then he went back to all the drivers. Just it seems that he's going back and forth in his decisions.
It's time for him to move.
I don't know. And then Williams, a 2 out of 10.
What? Are you kidding? Oh my god!
2 out of 10 for bringing a car that was fair, a very specific track, some very specific conditions, but the rest. They're just not developing, knowing the potential they have.
2 out of 10. Okay, bless you on that. And on that note, we go to the final part of the podcast. Listeners, this is the part of the awards.
Awards.
Take it away.
Driver of the Year.
Driver of the year.
Don't say Lewis Hamilton.
Okay, I think it's obvious it's going to be Verstappen because he is the driver of the year. Fantastic overall, impenetrable. Has a 9 out of 10. For me, he's a 10 out of 10. Yeah, no discussion. Oh, God, what have I done? And on that note, listeners, if he says what I think he's going
to
say.
Driver of the year. I will have to give it to no other than Max Verstappen.
Thank you. But...
But no, there is no but. Good. I mean, the Alonso is very close, but he's
not the driver of the day of the year. Okay, and the next award is
race of the year.
Race of the year for me was Britain.
Britain.
I love that race. I thought maybe you think I'd say Vegas, but I actually really like Britain a lot. It was exciting because it was a non-Mercedes Ferrari, another car fighting for a lead. I haven't seen that in a very long time. A proper race, not like wet conditions. Fantastic, exhilarating, had a safety car, had the mess with Hamilton fighting Norris at the end, on hard to get soft, had everything I wanted.
Good. Race of the year for me is going to be Brazil.
Mm.
I would say perhaps Monaco, because Monaco this year was really intense.
That was good.
With the rain, there was this, the question of what was going to happen all the time, there was this doubt that was hovering all through the race. I'll give it to Brazil though, because I love the track. I mean, that track
is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's like a big go-kart track. It's all you want from a racetrack.
Yeah.
That is fast, it's dangerous, with being fair to drivers.
I hope they keep that track. The next award.
Donkey of the year.
Donkey of the year. Wow, I wonder who. For me, it's Ocon by a donkey's mile.
We do agree. High five, and it goes.
Finally. Yeah, atrocious driver. I think we've said a lot about Ocon so far. I don't have anything else to add other than...
Absolutely. I agree with that. Donkey of the year. Overtake of the year.
Overtake of the year was... I know what you want me to say, but I'm not going to say
I'm
going to say Leclerc's overtake in last...
On
Perez on the last lap. It wasn't but a surprise to see that the Ferrari could keep pace, which is astonishing to me. He showed signs. It was a very good fight. Very good race, no matter what you say, Marin. He was fighting the Red Bulls, and the fact that he managed to get P2 was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and yeah.
For
I wonder which one yours is.
For me, it's going to be Brazil.
Oh.
It's either Bahrain, because the race itself was a nice one. It was fresh, it was the first one of the year, everything feels new. It's going to be Brazil because I love the track and the whole race. I mean, I was about to have a heart attack all through the race. The Netherlands was... Zandvoort was also a very good one with wet conditions.
Yes.
Very good one also. Although the race itself doesn't speak much. Unfortunately, because it's one of the old tracks, but it just doesn't speak much. But Brazil, I mean, they overtake...
That's true.
Alonso, Perez, the fight of it... The whole fight, even Norris. I mean, he fought like a lion, absolutely, not like Ocon in his best days.
And the last award of the year, accident of the year. For me, it's Ocon's and Alonso's in Brazil. That was the funniest accident I've seen in a while, and the fact that Ocon doubled down and didn't admit that it was his fault made it even better.
That was good.
And the fact that it melts your heart and just drives you crazy makes it even better for me. So yeah, that was my favorite moment.
I think I would have to take Qatar.
Oh God.
Paris, Ocon, Russell. No, Ocon, Paris, Hulkenberg. Where the three of them crashed, and I'm still unsure as to why they crashed, because Ocon turned. Ocon is always involved, of course, because he can't. I mean, if there is to be an accident, he wants to be on call. He wants to be the author of it, because he just can't bear the thought of him not being the author of it. And he turned on Hülkenberg, who then took Paris out of the situation, unwantedly, but he took it. Ocon, amazing.
Yeah.
And on that note, I have to ask you one last question.
Of course.
I would hate not to ask you this. Which track out of the calendar would you drop?
Ooh.
If you had to drop one, Name it.
Ooh la la. Which track would I drop? I would drop... I'm leaning towards logically saying that I hate Monaco, but I think you have to keep it because of its history, so I cannot drop that. Thus, I would drop... Obviously, this will never happen because of Arabic money, but I would drop Abu Dhabi. It is never fun, always boring, and I hate it.
Well, let's quickly recall what we have in the menu.
In the menu.
So we've got Bahrain, which
it's okay.
It's fair. I mean, it's given us some good grounds. We've got Saudi.
Yeah.
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate
it's
it.
It's entertaining,
I
mean, sometimes.
It's entertaining, but it's just too long straight.
Yeah, okay.
And not much happens. Australia used to be very good. Nowadays, it's very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. Japan, I love it.
I love it.
China, it's a good track. Not sure.
I would not drop it, though. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's decent. United States, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
But I'm not sure I would drop it. Now that we've got three races in the US, maybe is the one I like the least.
Yes. Oh, wow, you're going to put Vegas over that. Impressive.
Because, I mean, Vegas, surprising, there was overtaking, which is fair enough. And it's very, very fair.
I love it.
Imola, amazing. Monaco, it's a classic. Canada, good.
I love it.
Spain, very boring. Absolutely boring. They mentioned that they're bringing it to Spain, potentially into Madrid. That's in the good. Next few
God.
Years,
I
hope
they'll anger the Barcelonians.
Austria, very boring as a track in itself, but it's very good to watch.
Yeah,
it tends to bring good races.
The best one ever.
Britain is very, very good. Hungary, very boring in the last few years.
It was
better when Alonso and was holding up a certain loose.
Yeah, I think I'd keep that though.
Netherlands.
Belgium for sure. Keep Netherlands. Netherlands, I don't like, but you'd keep
it. I would probably. Drop it, to be honest.
Netherlands.
Yeah,
I don't like
it. I wouldn't mind it dropping it. Monza, it's boring, but it's a classic. Azerbaijan, yeah,
it's good.
Not sure. Singapore, definitely on the calendar. This one,
it's fun. The first sector is good. The first sector, and it's somewhat entertaining.
Okay, Qatar, you would keep it.
Yeah,
The tarmac is horrible. I mean, the cars are just going around. Mexico is boring.
Yes.
Mexico, the layout itself doesn't speak much. Brazil,
of course,
it's amazing. The upside down donkey.
I want it.
You want it. I would perhaps drop it.
Already? Come on.
Qatar, I like it. I like Qatar.
Actually, it's good.
And Abu Dhabi, please drop it.
Okay, we have to pick one.
If I had to drop one of them all, I would probably, I mean, it's very harsh because there's so many I would drop. I would probably go for Kota.
What?
Yeah, Circuit of the Americas.
Not Miami, you'd pick freaking Kota.
Miami Light.
Oh my god.
Miami Light.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, there's some of them, I mean, they're just boring, but. And Abu Dhabi, I think there is potential on that track to make it better.
Are you kidding me? That track has changed already to make it better potential, and it's still boring as hell. I have never enjoyed that race in that track.
It's always been boring, to be honest.
So
but,
bad.
But the surroundings are amazing. And it,
of course, wow, I want to...
Well, I think we've done the tour. We've been over the whole year with... I think we've been fair. We've been objective.
We've been pretty close with our ratings, actually. Not that far.
I'm
one
glad.
Here and there.
I'm glad that we've been close, which means, shows that we've been objective.
Objective, exactly.
This is auditing at its best. And on that note...
It's the last episode of the year, guys.
Last episode of the year. Until February, if we come back.
We will.
We will. I would like to thank you, personally, for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
For having shared your opinions, your very valuable and enlightening opinions, because
British opinions.
Your expertise about
the beautiful sport that
the sport is very important. Is significant. And yeah, I mean it makes it all more valuable.
It was a very good episode. I thoroughly enjoy the episode during the year, and I hope next year we see more competition at the top. We don't have that one driver is driving off to Narnia.
And on that note,
to 2024.
To 2024. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning. And as always, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to leave a comment if you like. And have a good day.